Can I say, wow, thank you, that was perfect. I think you played it perfectly. It sounded like it to me, and I was just sure the wire strings on one of those pianos were going to explode. That would be a great finale if that happened, but, well, maybe not, anyway. Thank you so much. Oh, holy night, the night when Christ was born indeed. I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, the New Testament book of Hebrews, and chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 6, and then we're going to jump over to verse 12 through 14. So Hebrews 3 and verse 6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And then verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Steadfast unto the end. Or another way to say it, finishing well. Finishing well. You know, 2021, in case you didn't realize it, is about to come to an end. So you need to practice saying 2022, right? But no, you want to enjoy the little bit of 2021 we have left. But it is coming to a close. And you may have started out well with 2021, but how do you finish? Are you finishing well? Are you going to finish strong? You know, in sports, it's all about how you finish. How you finish. You want to finish the game well. It's wonderful to start out well, but not so good if you don't finish well. No people have ever started out so well as the nation of Israel. Their miraculous exodus from Egypt. So wonderful was God's power displayed in leading them out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt for over 400 years into the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey, the promised land. And it was so wonderful and with great expectations that ended that 430-year bondage. 600,000 men, plus women and children, on foot that left Egypt. Some estimate probably between 1.5 and 2 million people altogether came out of Egypt and began that march. And they came out rich. They were adorned with expensive jewelry and costly array that the Egyptians gave them. And they gave them what they asked for, as we see in Exodus 12, 35 and 36. There was a huge pillar of a huge cloudy pillar that formed before them and led them in the daytime. And at night, that cloud turned into a cloud of fire and led them at night and shielded them from pursuing armies. Moses stretched forth his hand, and when he stretched forth his hand with his rod, the east wind drove the waters of the Red Sea back, and they were able to cross on completely dry ground. And Pharaoh's chariot followed after, and they were out of control because God took the chariot wheels off of their chariots, and they were drowned in that same sea which Israel crossed over a few moments before. Why? Because God was with them, as we see in Exodus 14:30 to Exodus 15:3. And then they sang the song of Moses in Exodus 15:21. And so they had a fabulous beginning. Nothing is going to stop them well, right? Wrong. They began so well, but they ended so poorly. Of the 600,000 men, only two of the 600,000 over the age of 20 ever finished, ever got into the promised land 40 years later. And you know them as Joshua and Caleb. But only those two. All the rest fell. They were graves in the desert. We see in Numbers 13, verse 14. And the lesson we learn from that story is it's possible to begin well and end poorly. End poorly. And we know that all too well, don't we? There are many projects around the house that I started out well, and I was all gung-ho, but they're yet to be finished. And some of them have been sitting, waiting on me for a long time. I can't think of any right now. Maybe not, maybe not. Don't ask my wife, though. She might tell you. But there's a warning to the Hebrew church in this passage. And it says, hold the beginning of confidence steadfast unto the end. Hold the beginning steadfast unto the end in Hebrews 3, 14. Our redemption in Jesus Christ, that is a new Exodus. He is our true Passover. Christ is our living rock. He is our guide through the wilderness of this world. If we hold our confidence in Him, steadfast unto the end, how are we finishing? How will you finish? And this is a warning against unbelief. Five times he gives that warning in Hebrews 3, verse 7. Today, if you will hear his voice. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Verse 15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice. Chapter 4, verse 7, again, today. After a long time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice. And then 2 Corinthians 6:12 says, or 2 Corinthians 6:1-2, now is the acceptable time. Now is a day of salvation. Today is a day we give our lives to Jesus Christ. Today is a day we keep on keeping on, and we finish well if we will do that. Look at Psalm 95, Psalm 95 and verses 7 to 11. Way back in Psalm 95 and verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. What is a provocation? That's when Israel provoked God, when he was leading them through the wilderness by their murmuring, complaining, and unbelief. It's called a provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Every Jew knew this passage by heart. In fact, it was used in the synagogue each Sabbath day. They would quote this passage, or they would sing part of it as part of their service. And it was a reminder to them to listen to God, a reminder of the children of Israel who did not listen to God in the wilderness. And it was called the provocation. It was in, again, verses 7 to 9. It was called a rebellion. Provocation meaning rebellion. It was a temptation or time of testing. And that all pointed back to Exodus 17, 2-7. In Exodus 17, verse 2, the people then chided with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And the people murmured against Moses. And God hates murmuring. And he hates it when you and I murmur, but we do, don't we? We forget that. Well, it's just my nature, just the way I am, you know? It's that Irish background that I have, right? No, it's that human nature that you battle, that wants to murmur and complain and gripe. And God does not condone it. God is not pleased. The quarreling and murmuring and complaining and testing the Lord became commonplace in their wanderings. In fact, look at Numbers chapter 20. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Genesis 20. And verse 1, we'll just read a few verses. Genesis 20, verse 1. And then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, unto the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses, against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake. In other words, they quarreled with him. They argued with him. They complained with him. And they spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. In other words, we'd be better off dead than wandering in this wilderness. Why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? In other words, and he goes on, it had been better if we'd stayed in Egypt as slaves than free men in this wilderness. And this was repeated throughout the 40 years as if they would try God's patience. And they were saying, I'll do what he forbids and I'll just wait and see if anything happens. And it did. And they hardened their heart. And that hardened heart was rooted in unbelief. In other words, they started out well as they left Egypt. They were ready to follow God anywhere. And then they said in Exodus 17:7, is the Lord among us or not? I don't think God's with us. I think he's left us. What are we doing? Why are we in this wilderness? They had a fair weather faith. It was good until the first trial came, and then it dissolved in unbelief. How is your faith? Is it fair weather? You have faith when everything's going all right. Not hard to do, is it? But when the going gets tough, how is our faith at that time? Well, it came to a head at Kadesh Barnea in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. And Israel's unbelief at the very border of Canaan. They were right there, ready to go into the promised land. And when they knew, they sent in 12 spies. And 10 came back. 10 out of the 12 said, we can't do this. We can't do this. We're like grasshoppers. We'll never be able to take them. We'll never be able to take the land, even though God promised that he would get it for them. He would provide it for them. And unbelief spread like a disease throughout the camp. And they wept, and they wanted to kill, they wanted to stone their leaders, Joshua and Caleb, to death in Numbers 14, 10, and 11. In fact, let's look at that if you're still in Numbers. Numbers 14 and verse 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me for all these signs which I have shown among them? How long will it be that you provoke the Lord by your unbelief in him? It provokes him. And it need not be. All we've got to do is trust him. Believe that what he says is true. Believe on him for salvation. Trust him to be able to save us from our sin. Trust him to provide for us. Trust him to lead us. And quit the grumbling and complaining, right? Negativism. We're like grasshoppers. Grasshopper Christians. I'm afraid many times we're grasshopper Christians. You know, when Robert Fulton tested his steamboat and nobody thought it could go, people actually stood on the shore and they chanted, it will never start, never start, never start. And when his steamboat then start and began to move, then they chanted, "It will never stop, never stop, never stop." You can just never make some people happy, can you? But faithlessness, faithlessness makes small mountains unclimbable and miniature seas uncrossable. Well, there was the negativism. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And there was grumbling that we already referred to. Grumbling and complaining and arguing with the leaders. In fact, there's the record of Israel grumbling. You find at least four times Israel grumbling at Kadesh. In Numbers 14, 2, 27, 29, and 36. Why? Because grumbling is natural. By natural, I mean it is part of our human nature. It is fleshly. It is fleshly. It is sinful. It is not pleasing to God. But it comes so easily, doesn't it? It comes so naturally to a fading faith, but it need not be. And then came quarreling. Quarreling. There was negativism. Secondly, quarreling. Or grumbling, and thirdly, quarreling. And that was a daily occurrence. And then fourthly and finally, disobedience. It brought disobedience. Faithless people will disobey, as they did in trying to have their own way in Kadesh Barnea. And we see that in chapter 14, verses 41 to 45. What does our life, what does our behavior reveal? How we live, how we walk, how we claim to believe in Jesus Christ and trust Him and live for Him. What does our behavior really reveal? Does it reveal a hardening and unbelieving heart, or the tenderness of a faithful servant of Jesus Christ? You see, it's possible to start out well and yet fall by the way when trouble comes. Look at Matthew 13, if you would. Matthew, that's at the beginning of the Gospels, isn't it? Matthew 13, and verse 20 and 21. Matthew 13, verse 20. "But he that receives seed in the stony places, the same as he that hears the word, and anon with joy receives it, and yet he hath not root in himself, but he endureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended," or he stumbles. He stumbles. He no longer has the faith or exercises the faith that he had. You know, it's like someone can wax eloquent about his exodus, about how he or she was saved, how they went forward in a service, or how they went to a revival and they prayed and God saved them, and then they were baptized. But for many, for too many, I'm afraid, they're revealed in time, as time goes by, to have a dead faith. It really wasn't a saving faith after all. It was a dead faith. And so we're to take heed. Again, this personal warning in back in Hebrews, chapter 3 again. I'll get back there. Chapter 3, verse 12. The warning, "Take heed then, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." That word "departing" in the original, in the Greek, is the word apostatize. Apostatize. It says, take heed lest you commit apostasy. You depart from the living God. The rebels in Moses' day, they didn't go into Canaan. They missed entry into Canaan because of their unbelief. Rebellion against Christ will guarantee that you will miss heaven. You don't want to do that. You don't want to miss heaven. You want to be ready to go to heaven through faith in Jesus Christ. It's a fearful and dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, Hebrews 10:31. So protect your heart. Protect your heart. God's eyes are upon your heart, not your head. It's what's in your heart that makes the man. Protect your heart. Keep it from falling away from the living God. And it's not religion, right? It's not works. There'll always be religion, but is there faith in your heart? Are you walking with the Lord? We're to encourage each other too, by the way, as we read in verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another. It means encourage one another. That's our role. That's what we do. We encourage one another. We exhort one another daily. And how different Israel's story would have been if they had encouraged each other instead of murmuring to each other. When we complain about things to other people, what's that do? It just drags us all down. You go, yeah, I know, it's pretty mad. Now, there are times we need to share. We're going through a rough time, and we can share that. But we don't want to murmur. We don't want to be complaining all the time. And how different some churches and families would be. But we tend to judge, and we criticize, and we complain. But do we exhort? We ought to be exhorting and encouraging daily, not Sunday only. Are we seeking to encourage through the week? Many of you do. You do it by phone calls. You do it by visits. You do it by cards and gifts and things like that. And that's a blessing. We don't want to be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Instead, we want to persevere. Chapter 3 of Hebrews, verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So persevere, persevere. A true Christian will persevere. And if we don't persevere, I believe that indicates we don't know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because a Christian, I believe, will persevere. He will continue. And he will finish well. We are either, well, 1 John 2:19 says, they went out from us, for they were not of us. If they'd been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might be manifest that they were not of us. They weren't possessors. They were professors only, not possessors. And we are either professors or possessors. A true test of our union is our perseverance. That's the evidence of our faith. We need to be steadfast unto the end. Steadfast unto the end. I used to run in high school, I ran the half mile in track. And I loved running it when I was a freshman and sophomore. And then I got in my junior year. I thought, you know, this is not fun at all. I'm just killing myself out here. Why? Why am I doing this? Run around, and I'm just running a circle. And I quit. I just quit. Now, I wish I had not. I really do. But I quit. But I remember you had to pace yourself. You ran two laps. Each lap was, back then, 440 yards. Now it's 400 meters or something like that. We didn't know what meters were back when I was in high school. And it was so I ran the 880, you know, and I ran on the two-mile relay team. But one time I was running a solo 880, and I remember going to the first lap, and they would read off your time, and the time was 55, 56, 57. And I heard that, and I thought, wow, I have never run that fast that first lap. I thought, I am going to run this thing in record time. And I'm in the lead, I'm going to win. And I got around that last leg of that race, and everybody passed me. Everybody. I came in last. Why? I didn't pace myself. I didn't pace myself. I fooled myself. I began well. Man, that was exciting. That was fun. Everybody was cheering, go Terry, you're going to win. but I didn't finish well. Only those who stay the course and finish the race have any hope of gaining the prize. Have any hope of gaining the prize. As Hebrews, I have written down Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every encumbrance, and the sin which easily besets us, and run with patience, or patient endurance, perseverance, the race that is set before us. In other words, run in a way that you will finish. You will finish, and finish well. So, beginning well is good, but it isn't enough. Only those who stay in the course and finish the race have any hope of gaining the prize. And the stony ground hearers, they didn't do well because they had no root in themselves. They believed for a while and then they fell away when the going got rough. And these warnings in the book of Hebrews in chapter 3, verse 6 and verse 14 and other verses are not given to create uncertainty. God is telling us he wants us to be unsure of our salvation, but to alert us to avoid being careless and presumptuous. At the Last Supper, the Lord Jesus announced that one of them would betray him. And you know what each disciple said? Not me. No, not me. No, they didn't answer. They said, isn't me? Isn't I? And, of course, we know it was Judas. Hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Unto the end. Again, Hebrews 3:14. Hold your confidence, your boldness, confident boldness. And that comes only from Christ's work. We rest in his work on the cross, in the shedding of his blood. He has now entered into heaven itself, and sin is put away. And we have a better hope now because we have a better covenant sealed by the blood of the Savior, Jesus Christ. So let us hold our confidence. Again, Hebrews 4:14, Hebrews 6:12, Hebrews 10:19, and 23 and 36, and Hebrews 12:3. Hold our confidence. God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He delivered him up for us all that we might believe. God's son did not escape judgment when he took our sins. Our sins were laid on him on the cross. And we see in the cross what sin deserves, what it did to our Savior, what sin deserves at the hands of a holy God. And he bore them all. Our sins put him to death, and he paid the price that you and I owe. We must look to Christ. As a person, we have a relationship. We look to Christ, not religion, not a creed, but a person. You begin well, right? You began well. Will you finish well? Finish well. We want to finish well and pace ourselves step by step, walking with the Lord. And we don't say, are you running with the Lord? No, we say, are you walking with the Lord? Step by step, day by day, moment by moment. And so looking unto Jesus, we're to hold fast to the end, verse 6. We're to take heed, verse 12. We're to exhort, verse 13. Stand fast to the end, verse 14. Today, if you will hear his voice, verse 15. Finish well, and by grace you will. By grace you will. You can finish 2021. Finish it well. We can. Get in the Word. Be in prayer. Talk to others. Let's begin the new year now in the old year. Get a head start, right? We can do that. And by the grace of God, you will finish well. And you will receive the prize. And you will receive the crown. The upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. It'll be yours. Let us not be weary in well-doing. So we read Galatians 6:9, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't faint. You will reap. The reward's coming. The blessing is there. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. And God says in Proverbs 24:10, if you faint in the day of battle, your strength is small. Don't faint. Don't pass out when the going gets tough. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going, right? The faithful, the ones who have faith, get going. And so many other passages. 2 Timothy 4, I'm going to turn there. 2 Timothy 4 and close with this. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8. Paul writes this final chapter of his life and of his writing, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I'm now ready. Are we ready? Have we fought a good fight? If not, begin today. Fight the fight today. May God help us to do that.